Welcome to Voices in the Wilderness, conversations about church and leader health. Thank you for listening. We encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches and leaders to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. We also welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org. My name is Marcus Carlson, and I'm here along with our podcast guru, Peter Belschwinder.
Well, today's podcast episode, Marcus, so we're doing a little bit of a different one. It's just you and I, and we're going to talk about international ministry. We had interviewed one of our employees, Eric Leona, on a previous episode, and we talked about something about international ministry. And I just wanted to ask, can you share more about what that looks like and how it relates to our mission here at Preparing for Amazement Ministries?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, when we think about our ministry, obviously, revitalizing and building the global church is our mission. And there's three ways we really accomplish that. And one of those is our international ministry. And so for our international ministry, that's obviously the building the global church part of it. And really, there's a couple different components to that. First, we go to places, developing areas around the world where extreme poverty prevents pastors, church staff, ministry leaders from having any access to education or training, or very little access to education or training. And we'll go and build these relationships. We vet these partners and we'll do training. Usually our goal is to kind of do three rounds of training in person, and then on the fourth time, train trainers and utilize, online training kind of in between. Second piece of that, long-term, we would love to actually build partnerships between churches in the U.S. and some of these international partners. And then the third piece of our international ministry is that we actually help sponsor pastors to earn a degree program in the U.S. through our partnership with Kairos University. And so those are really kind of the three pieces of that. Part of how this whole ministry even started was around this idea of going to these places around the world where pastors had little access to education or training. And it's how we met Eric, and he became a part of our team, and he kind of helps coordinate a lot of that, especially in Africa.
Wow. Yeah, and that's you mentioned the Kairos partnership, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And I think it's amazing, right? Offering seminary education and training for those that need it, especially in third world countries. I mean, it is just so important for, spreading the gospel of Jesus to those that need it. So, you do have a trip coming up this fall, and I know it's going to be a good one. Can you share more about your trip?
Yeah, we do anywhere between one to three of these trips a year. And so in October, we usually try to do two to three countries. Usually our trips are anywhere, from 10 to 20 days. Anything less than 10 days is not worth all the flying. Anything, more than 20 days is probably too much, time away from home. So really, it just depends on the year. This year in October, we'll be doing at least, hopefully two countries. For sure, we will be at least going to Bangladesh. We've had a long-term partnership there. In fact, it's our oldest partnership besides our partnership in Kenya. And we have partnerships on multiple continents. And there we'll be working with a number of churches in a rural part of Bangladesh. Bangladesh is 0.2 or 0.3% Christian.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And historically, even the last time I was there, had been pretty unfriendly to faith-based people coming in and doing any kind of work. That's really shifted over the last several years, especially as a lot of Christian ministries do a lot of work in poverty and childcare and protection and that kind of stuff. And so it's a lot more open than it used to be. But we will go and we will train pastors and youth pastors, myself, and we'll actually join a partner mission group in doing that. And then we're also going to lead a youth conference. And so we're in the throes of not only preparing for that trip, but raising money for that trip. These trips, the bang for the buck is amazing. I can, for $10,000, I can, go somewhere and I can train, 100 pastors, for a week, and make a tremendous difference. And, the reality is I probably can't take four staff people to a 3-day conference in the US for that amount of money. Other than the flying, everything is really, really cheap. And so we're in the process of finalizing the first part of that trip to Bangladesh. And we have started the fundraising for that. And I leave kind of mid-October. And our hope is to raise enough to visit one of our other partners. And we're always adding to our partner list. Again, we have a vetting process, but right now we're getting about, I would say, at least one to two contacts a week from ministries and pastors in these developing areas who are hearing about us, finding us, so that asking for us to come and do training. And all that training is contextualized. It's not the white American goes to this country and tells you how to do American ministry, right? We do have some topics that are pretty universal, to all churches, but even then we contextualize them. But a lot of times we ask these partners what kind of topics they want training on. And so right now we're soliciting that information for Bangladesh. Again, if we hit another Asian country or if we hit one of our African partners as a second country, really again depends on kind of schedule and fundraising, and we're in the process of vetting some of those partners. So it's really great. Like it's incredible ministry because you are really helping plant churches, train pastors in areas, again, where they have no access to education or training, and where the church, the Christian church in particular, has potential but doesn't have a lot of foothold. Again, 0.2, 0.3% Christian in Bangladesh. In Africa, the continent of Africa, the median age is 18. It's probably the ripest continent for the gospel right now at this time in the history of the world. And a lot of times people will say, well, why go there when there's need here? And we just really believe in both, right? We believe that the gospel is a global thing, right? Jesus said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And so this is the ends of the earth part for us, right? And how do we go to these places and provide these resources and training? And the testimonials and the data from the surveys really kind of demonstrates that we're really moving the needle. And it's just a really exciting thing, a bit of an adventure, for
Right.
sure. A lot of time in airplanes and airports. Just an incredible opportunity to do some really good ministry and make a tremendous impact.
Yeah, and I know Eric mentioned when we interviewed him for the podcast how important it was to start training the youth. Like that's how it stays and it grows further than, they can imagine. It's really investing in the youth. So good luck running a youth conference. That
Yeah,
is
that'll be
not my cup of
different.
tea.
Yeah, it'll be different for
I
sure.
know I did. I wouldn't call it necessarily a missions trip, but it was a missions trip. My wife and I 10 years ago went to England and did worship leading out there, and I know it was taxing on me, and I didn't really. It was just a whole different type of trip. But we talk a lot about church and leader health, and this is a different question that's not on our script here. But when you're traveling, you're jet lagged, you're away from family for 20 days, what do you do to maintain healthiness as a leader in those situations?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think one of the things is being attentive to sleep while there, and making sure that I'm getting that 8 hours of sleep is really a huge deal. Obviously, building some time in with my family before and after, and figuring out how to make up the Sabbath time, because a lot of times on these trips it's impossible to kind of take the day or the weekly Sabbath, and I kind of have a rule. I can move it within a week, or I can make up one like a week after. I think the other thing I try to do is leave a lot of the evenings really open, so that I can kind of relax and debrief and really do something, I don't know, fun or relaxing, towards the end of the trip, to transition. A lot of people who do these trips, the beauty for me is I don't get jet lag. I don't get jet lag at all. I've been on flights that have been 18 hours long and it's no big deal. Like, praise God for that. The time zone thing doesn't mess me up at all. I just keep my watch on the regular time, right? And my phone on the regular time, and don't think about what time it is at home unless I'm sending a text message or making a phone call. And so I think that really helps for me. I don't struggle with those. Ironically, like when we change our clocks an hour twice a year, it kills me for a week. So I just have to laugh, that's what bothers me, for sure. So that's not actually been too much of a struggle for me. And I don't actually even go through culture shock. A lot of people go through culture shock, but I do kind of when I come back, and I think this is a really great question. When I come back, especially if I'm working with a church in the US, that first month after I'm back, my patience for kind of petty stuff is really difficult. Like, I've spent 2 weeks in a place where there's not like indoor plumbing, right? And where people literally risk their lives to pastor a church or, make 30 US dollars a month pastoring a dozen churches. And then I come back and somebody's like, I don't like the color of the carpet, right? And, I rage on the inside. And so knowing that about myself has been really huge. And even warning people, like, hey, I've been in an area of poverty. And so my, patience for petty nonsense is really low. Now that I'm not like, pastoring a church on the regular, right? That, I'm just working as a consultant or as an intentional interim. That's been a lot easier, but I would say in the years when I was leading or working in a church kind of on a regular full-time basis, that was the hardest thing. Of all of the stuff, that's the hardest thing. I think, I'm diabetic, and so that's tricky. And, ever since I got COVID, being insulin dependent, like figuring out things like refrigeration and that kind of stuff. And just knowing that, I've got to do those things that I need to do to take care of me. The interesting thing is these places are so hospitable that it's, they're just so thankful that you're there. It's so encouraging that the challenges, the drain of that, is not hard. And I tell people all the time, because I travel a ton, and they say, well, how do you like travel? And I said, nobody in their right mind likes the act of travel, especially today. It's messier, it's complicated, it's less pleasant. But being different places is great. And so I think just knowing myself, the big X factor really is sleep for sure. But you got to do the same self-care when you're on the road, just like when you're not. And I've not figured that out necessarily entirely on like exercise and sleep routine, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, I can. There's so much good stuff there. I know I sympathize with the airport travel. I am like, I tell my wife when I travel, I am a diva. There's nobody more important in the world in the airport than me. And it's a terrible mentality to have. But I like to just sit and watch people. That's one way I recoup, is just by watching people. So I'm sure it's fun in those foreign airports to just sit around and watch people and just see different walks of life and everything. But also engaging in the community and culture when you're there visiting. That's always cool. I've been telling people for a while, we need to really focus on planting in Fiji, New
Amen.
Zealand, Switzerland, these beautiful Italy, let's start spreading the gospel to these areas where, it's tropical or really culturally established from a long history of, all this amazing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I am waiting for the call from Fiji or Australia or New Zealand. I actually have heard there's a shortage of Lutheran pastors in New Zealand, and if my kids were in a different season, I'm pretty sure my wife might pack up and go. But yeah, and again, these places are places that not a lot of people go. Some of these
Right.
places, I'm the first North American to step foot in the county, in the history of the country. I mean, that's how wild some of this is. And again, different degrees for sure. Rural city, and you get opportunities to preach and preach with a translator. I mean, there's all these cool things, but it's work for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And but again, I mean, the bang for the buck, the amount of fruit that comes from the little time that's invested, the amount of fruit that comes from the little bit of money that's invested is absolutely unbelievable, right? I mean, I did a Uganda trip for like $10,000-$15,000, and we, trained 40, 50 pastors for a week that were church planters, and it was a brand new denomination that was planting churches in rural villages, right? And we were able to provide them with resources and training, and so it's absolutely amazing what you can do, especially when you compare it to like what it costs to do things in the US.
Yeah, where it costs us, $10,000 to $15,000 to run a week of EBS. Not saying that's not important, but man,
No.
it's crazy what it costs nowadays to do ministry in the United States. And now we add the global component. I mean, geez, if it's advancing the kingdom of God, it's worth investing in for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And again, these places, they're just so hungry and they want to do it. And, doing it in a way that's contextual, because all ministry is contextual. Jesus did ministry contextually. And so it's got to be about the context. It's not the educated white American pastor knows better and teaches you to be like us. Instead, it's okay, I want to serve you because you don't have access to something I've been given, I've been
Yeah.
blessed with. And, how do I give it to you in a way that fits your context? And it's been really cool. And I don't always get that perfectly. There's no way to get that perfect, but
Yeah.
trying to be sensitive to that is huge.
This is going to be a monumental segue here. You talked about having access to stuff. Let's talk about the access that people overseas are getting with our educational partnership with the Kairos University. Can you share more about that?
Yeah, so I have the privilege of being an affiliate faculty and a faculty mentor liaison with Kairos University. And they've got a really cool set of programs, master's and doctoral programs. And a part of their model is built on partnerships. And so we as a ministry have established a partnership with them where we can help these pastors in these developing areas, in these areas of deep poverty, earn bachelor's, master's degrees through an accredited U.S. university and seminary. And what's been beautiful about this partnership is that, first, we get to work directly with these pastors, and the work we do on the ground and the work we do remotely counts as a part of their education. Secondly, they get access to just a plethora of courses on this online platform and access to free books, through the
Oh, wow.
library. So, like a
Yeah.
lot of these areas, I mean, there's no Amazon in these places. There's no Amazon book delivery. There's no use of a Kindle app in some of these countries, certainly not of Christian books. And so it really gives us access to all these resources. And the cost to us is minimal and is really based on the poverty level in that country, based on the UN poverty level. And so it's a beautiful thing. And so what we do is we put students through an application process. We're trying to leverage the most high capacity leaders, and especially younger people right now. And really, we can take as many students as we get sponsors for. So you could sponsor a student for $100 a month, for 2, 3, 4 years. And again, they can earn this master's degree that will make them a better pastor, leading denominations. I mean, some of these places, I mean, you've got bishops and without master's degrees, and pastors without the equivalent of bachelor's degrees. So not only does it help them do amazing ministry and to learn, but it actually can help get them and their families out of poverty, right? That a lot of these pastors themselves live in poverty. We talk about in the US that the future of the American Christian church is bivocational or co-vocational ministry. I mean, I joke that I'm octo-vocational. And, that's the future in the US. That has been the reality for almost every place we go, almost every place we go, almost every church, almost every pastor in these areas of poverty where we've gone, with the exception of maybe some bishops. I don't think any of these, pastors are not bivocational or co-vocational. And again, I mean, some of them living on $30 US a month, no indoor plumbing, electricity, most of them. And so not only just earning this degree will they learn more and have all this amazing credibility with the people and with the government, which is often a huge challenge, but it actually could help get them and their families out of poverty. So, for $100 a month, I mean, we're changing lives. And, I can't imagine getting a master's degree, certainly a faith-based master's degree, for $3,600, right? Like if it takes them
It's
three
amazing.
years,
Yeah.
it's incredible. And so I get to work directly with each of these students, and the beauty of technology and Zoom that we can do this. We currently have two students that are sponsored, both in Africa. And again, we've got a list of applicants ready and waiting for more sponsors. And this is again, depending on your passion, right? Some people are not passionate about church and leader health in the US or church revitalization. Some are. Some get excited about sponsoring a US pastor. Other people could get really excited about sponsoring one of these trips or sponsoring, a pastor for $100 a month. And again, we're changing lives. One of the phrases that we use all the time in our ministry, it's probably one of the Marcusisms that Jen, wants to catalog is, how do we move the needle, right? That we're always measuring stuff, but because our mission is so big, one of the measures we use is how much have we moved the needle? And
Yeah.
the international ministry really moves the needle a lot for very little resource.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's just, gosh, you look back and it's like, what seeds are getting planted and what fruit is this going to yield? I mean, we may never see it, right, and on this side of heaven, but who knows what, this will lead to and what it means for those continents and those areas that are so desperate for pastors. It's amazing.
Yeah. And again, I mean, I think we think about like our ministry's name, Preparing for Amazement Ministries, right? Based on Habakkuk 1:5. And it's that look and watch and be prepared to be utterly amazed. For I, you meaning God, is am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. And this is just one area. All three areas do this, but this area just so starkly, this part of our ministry really helps us live out that verse and just to see incredible things happen. And again, Jesus is needed around the world, and the harvest is plentiful everywhere. And we're just trying to honor that, passage from Acts, right? Like to bring Jesus to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth.
Yeah, so good. Thank you, Marcus.
Awesome. Thank you. It's been fun to kind of do this differently and have you ask all the questions and, get me reflecting. So yeah, and you can learn more on the website. And again, we'll be promoting this trip, and you can always email at the podcast email address, and we'd be glad to share more about the trip or hook you up with one of these sponsorships. Thank you so much for listening. We again encourage you to keep the conversation going. Voices in the Wilderness is brought to you by Preparing for Amazement Ministries, where we empower and equip churches to create lasting and transformational health. Visit amazed15.org to learn more. As always, we welcome any comments or suggestions. Simply email us at podcast@amazed15.org about any podcast topic suggestions, questions about any of our episodes, or for more questions about our ministry or more information about our ministry.